today as we come to the table.
I think it's a good place to say, you know what? Whatever you want, Lord, I'm going to do it. You remove all the excuses. Don't accept our excuses. Get us to a place where we're usable. And the years that we have left, use them. Whatever's left, let's use it. And that's where Moses is. So Moses says, I can't do this. You know, you get somebody else. I'm not. Who am I? Look at verse 12. He knocks his feet out from under him. He said to him, I will certainly be with you. I love it. He's saying, who am I? It's not just you, Moses. It's not like just you're going to Pharaoh. You're stepping out in ministry. You're going to do this. I'm going with you. It'll be me doing it. Just relax. Just obey me and go.
Following the Lord doesn't need to be done solo. In fact, it won't be. When God gives you something to do, He's coming with you. He's there each step of the way, guiding you and giving you the words to say. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. It's easy to make excuses when you're being led by God. God takes you out of your comfort zone, and comfort can be enticing. Fear of the unknown can also hold you back. Don't let it. Pastor Mark will talk with you today about diving all in to the Lord's plans and letting Him get you to where you need to go. Don't let excuses or fear keep you from experiencing all that God has waiting for you. Now, turn in your Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 3 as Pastor Mark continues his message, Making Excuses.
God allowed him to fail miserably, and after his miserable failure in his own strength to do it, then God sends him 40 years after that failure. And you talk about thinking you're done. I tried it. I stepped out. It didn't work. It failed. And now you already think you're a failure, that you've missed God and God's not going to use you. And yet he had no idea the huge way that God was going to use him when he was ready. Then God sends him 40 years to the backside of the desert. And now he really thinks it's done. And he literally comes to the place where he's made up his mind. Not only is it done, I have no hope that God's ever going to use me. And he lost all hope in self-confidence and all hope in his own abilities. And God had to allow that to happen so that he could finally use Moses. And some of us in here, guys, God is having to allow us to completely rid ourselves of us so we can use us. It's not a fun process, but you know what happens? When we get to that place, God says, now. I mean, it's like when we finally say, that's it. I'm done. I've tried everything. Then God says, all right, we're ready. We're ready. Start the engines, guys. I'm going to recommission, give the call again, show him what he's doing. And then there's that old process of convincing again. No, I am going to use you. Now, God didn't always do it that way. It depends on how much God has to work out and how long it takes, you know. And I look at Moses, the 40 years that it took to do that. And I've told you guys this before. I pray, Lord, please don't let it take 40 years for me to get to the place where you can use me the most. God can use us right now where we are. And he is using you guys. He'll use us right where we are. But he can't use us to the full measure until we get to the place Moses was. And that is completely empty of ourselves, realizing we have no ability, losing all self-confidence. And you know, it's funny, when I read about these guys that God used in great ways, by the time they get to the place where God can use them in great ways, the typical things they say is, I am so unqualified for this. I am so unable. I am so deficient in so many areas. What am I even doing here? Understand that when we get to that place, it's now when the greatest things can be done through you for the kingdom of God, because it's not you, it's Him. And it's a hard place to get to in our own flesh. But the only way that I've ever seen that this is learned, some people may be able to learn this by hearing it. I don't think that we're going to learn this by hearing it tonight. Here's what's been my experience, not just personally, but in other men's lives that I've observed. Typically, it comes only by experience. You can teach it. I knew, you know, 20-some years ago that I had to rid myself of me and that God could never really do much with me until I did, and that I had to realize that it was all Him and not me. I knew all that. 20-some years ago, I knew it mentally. I'm just now starting to get it. It's just now starting to kind of click in the wheels and go, okay, God, I got it. I think it's starting to settle in some because I've watched over the years of how I can do nothing without Him. Now what do I do? And how do I do this thing where you do it and I'm not in the way? This is where Moses is. And maybe some of you guys are in this place as well, because we all have to learn it. Getting rid of our abilities and ourself. And again, the head knowledge doesn't do it. It's got to be that, you know, God showing it. Now, here's the thing that really hit me today, guys. In America, we have a bigger problem with this than in some other countries. Now, not all countries, but some other countries. And I believe we have a much harder problem at this than even probably they did back then. Again, I don't know why it took 40 years with Moses. I'm sure God was also getting things ready with Egypt and the children of Israel and all that. But here's why we have such a hard time with this today. Here's what our society and culture teaches. How many of us have heard our kids taught that they can do anything they want and there's nothing they can't do, and they have all abilities and they're all beautiful and they're all handsome and they all get the surprise at the birthday party and everyone's a winner and everyone gets a trophy? That's our culture today. I don't think that's necessarily good. I really don't. I may step on some toes right now. I think that what we've done is, I think by doing this and making it all inclusive and everyone's a winner and nobody loses, I think what we've taught is a false expectation that I can win all the time at everything. So now I just go and do it, and I'm going to win when I serve God, and I'll win, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to take the city, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that because I can. I've always been told I can, and I've got this self-confidence. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we should tear our children down or tear our society down. We need to be encouragers and build them up in Christ and all that kind of stuff. What I'm saying is, I think that we are taught self-confidence so much in the American culture that God really has a lot more work to do with us before he can get us to a place where we're really usable. You go to some of these countries where they don't have all that, and I think God can raise them up and use them much quicker. But if I think that I can do all this stuff, and I'm this, and I have this training, and I have these abilities, and I have that, and I'm this, and whatever, then God's got to just kind of shake his head and say, how long is it going to take? How long do I have to wait until you realize that you can't, and that you don't, and that any abilities you do have, I gave them to you? I always think about that when I see somebody with an exceptional talent, whatever that talent is, whether it's, you know, something musically or something in sports or whatever the talent is. God is the one that gave that. And if we don't learn to acknowledge that it's from God and to use it for God's glory, and we think somehow it has to do with us, what happens? Pride. We elevate ourselves. We think we're better. Somehow, like, you know, the scriptures talk about it. Somehow you think you did it. Like, you think that you're the one. Even the ability to make money. We were talking about that today at lunch. God gives certain people the ability to make money. It's a gift he gives them. So if God has given you an ability to make money and you just hoard it, and don't use it for the kingdom, you're going to be accountable for that one day. If God has given you ability in music and you just do it to make yourself famous, you know, I'm going to be this and I'm going to be a star or whatever. And, you know, what is the whole goal? You know, what do we teach in our society? I'm going to be a star, you know. American Idol, that's me. I'm the one. Come on. I can sing. I can dance. I can whatever. I'm the guy. And some of these people are just shocked to find out they're not as great as they think they are, you know. It's a real eye-opener. And sometimes they get told that and they leave there thinking, well, those crazy judges don't know anything, you know. They still are so full of themselves, they can't even accept the fact they're not. We've created that. And so if we come from any background where we have any kind of special talent, listen, if you're the kind of person that has no special talent, you're way ahead of everybody else in the kingdom of God. Way ahead. Because you are a prime candidate for somebody God can raise up quickly and do great things through. But if you have any special talent, if you're able to do something other people can't, if you're naturally humble or you learn to be humble, then great. But if not, you've got a battle. You don't even realize what your battle. You don't know how much is in there. And sometimes it doesn't show up in a glowing pride, but it's in there. And God's got to take all these years to work it out and finally get you to a place to where, you know, I think Moses was so gifted in his speech. He was so gifted physically and militarily because of the training. And we see what he did and doing short work with all the shepherds there, you know, with Zipporah and Jethro's daughters and all. We see that he was probably going to be the next Pharaoh, from what many believe, depending on which Pharaoh was in place. He had all these things going from all this money, all this stuff. And it wasn't that he was like so full of pride. The Bible didn't tell us that. But he was nowhere near where he needed to be for God to use him. And he had this whole big long learning curve before God could, and this de-elevation. You see, the world says work your way up the ladder. What does the kingdom teach? You got to work your way down the ladder. Jesus said, you want to be great in the kingdom? You got to be the least of everybody. And if you're too important to wash feet, you're too important to vacuum a floor or clean a window or pick up a cigarette butt, you're useless until God gets that in your mind that you're just a servant. And once you learn you're a servant, now you're great in the kingdom. Now God can elevate you and use you. Again, Moses had a lot to learn. While all his, you know, education and all this stuff would help him succeed in the world, it's not going to help him with the Lord very much until he learns to be humble. This is what happened to Peter. Remember Peter? The example of Peter, he's, you know, Lord, though they all deny you, I won't. And he had that self-confidence, and God had to allow Peter to totally blow it. God could have stopped that, couldn't he? He could have stopped Satan from tempting Peter. He could have made everything work, but God allowed Peter to fail miserably so that God could say, I tried to tell you, but now I have to show you. And so some of us might be in that place where God is saying, I've tried to tell you, now I've got to show you. It's a great place to be when you finally just realize, you know what, Lord, whatever you want to do, you do it, and I've lost all goals. Here's what I found. Before I came to the Lord, I had all these aspirations to be great. I wanted to be a great famous singer. I wanted to be, you know, when I was a kid, it started out wanting to be the, you know, great athlete, whatever it was. You know, football. I want to do football, you know, and he's on the five. You know, and you have the whole thing, and you throw it down, and you know, the crowd's adoring you. You know, that seems silly at 18, but that's where I was. Then, you get into something else. You get into other stuff, and like, you know, then it was tennis, you know, and I would spend hours doing tennis, you know, whatever. And I went through all these phases of something, some way, and I didn't realize at the time necessarily. I probably wouldn't have told you I was trying to be great, but the truth was, I was trying to be great. I wanted people to know me and, ooh, you know. And then, you know, God gave me just enough ability to sing a little bit where I got a little bit of attention from it, and it ruined me for years. Ruined me. Because then I went out to be famous as a singer. You mean everybody can't sing? Okay, well then I'll sing and get me a guitar and hey, I get a little bit of attention here. And then, so then I come to the Lord, right? Now God has all this time, he's got to work all this stuff out of me of trying to be great. And I found as a baby Christian, then I start trying to be great in the kingdom. I want to be the famous teacher or pastor. I want to be the one that whatever I'd like to be. And you don't admit that typically at that time, but I look back now and I did the same thing in the church that I did in the world. So then God had to work all that out. And the only way God can work that out is total failure in most everything you try to do. It's not fun. It's very humbling. It's very sad. It can be very lonely. It's wonderful. Because then you get to a place where you finally say, you know what? If you never use me again, I'm at the place right now that if God never uses me again, I'm all teeth. I'm smiling, and I'm ready to go on to be in the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I have a death wish. But remember the children of Israel. They had this thing they said when they were quoting everything that God had done for them. They say, God, you brought us out of Egypt. Dayenu. And then, God, you brought us in, you know, into the wilderness. And Dayenu. And God, then you fed us. You know, you gave us all these miracles and all in the wilderness before. Dayenu. And then you brought us in the promised land. Dayenu. You know what Dayenu means? It means that would have been enough. In other words, if you'd have just brought us out of Egypt, if you'd have just saved us, that would have been enough. But then you did all these miracles in the wilderness. Well, that would have been enough. And then you did all the stuff you brought us to the promised land. Well, Dayenu, that would have been enough. And then you did this, and they go on this whole big long list where they're saying all these wonderful things God did and then all these Dayenus. And nobody would know it but us. But I think a bumper sticker, Dayenu, would be a great bumper sticker. But nobody would know it but us. And other Christians, they'd think you're just, it would confirm to them that you're strange. But anyway. But I love that. I love Dayenu because I'm at the place in my life where Dayenu. I'm just, God has saved me. I'm in the kingdom. I'm getting now to where I realize I'm too old to be great at anything. And I'm not that old. Don't get me wrong. I feel like I've got a lot of years to go. But I'm not exactly going to go out, you know, and be a walk-on for Tennessee. Be a laugh-off if I tried. Or a walk-on anything else. It's just going to have to be, God, what do you want to do? What do you want to do with my life? I'm here. And I think that it's a great place to be, guys. I think it's a good place to say, you know what? Whatever you want, Lord, I'm going to do it. You remove all the excuses. Don't accept our excuses. Get us to a place where we're usable. And the years that we have left, use them. Whatever's left, let's use it. And that's where Moses is. So Moses says, I can't do this. You know, you get somebody else. I'm not. Who am I? Look at verse 12. He knocks his feet out from under him. He said to him, I will certainly be with you. I love it. You're saying, who am I? It's not just you, Moses. It's not like just you're going to Pharaoh. You're stepping out in ministry. You're going to do this. I'm going with you. It'll be me doing it. Just relax. Just obey me and go. So he says, you know, certainly I will be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I've sent you. When you have brought this people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. So first of all, notice, I will certainly be with you. I love this. In other words, I will give you the ability to do what I'm asking you to do. I will be with you. And hence, it's not you, but me doing the work. So relax. Just obey. You let me worry about the results. And again, the same promise is given to us, guys. When we share our faith with the world around us, God says, I'll be with you. And sometimes you think it's not having any impact. Let me tell you something. When you're sharing the word of God, it's having an impact. They may not give their life to the Lord right there with you when you do that, but you're having an impact. You're planting seeds. You're giving them the gospel and sharing with them. Trust God to do what he's going to do with it. The word certainly is very interesting to me here. This, you know, Word studies are an amazing thing in the language because you miss so much until you really get down to what does the language say. This word, certainly, I never would have believed or thought this word means this. It means burning or branding. I will certainly be burning and branding you and be with you. You know, I think there's a whole thing of here, I'll be making you on fire. I'll give you the fire of the Spirit. That's the burning part. But the branding part, I believe here is that God says, you know what? I'm going to be the one that my presence is going to be obvious with you. Like an animal that's branded, they're going to recognize that I've sent you. They're going to see that my label's on you. My name is on you. My name is with you. So you'll be burning for me. You're going to be branded for me just like an animal. You know, you see that on an animal. You can't deny that. They've been branded. You see it. He says, my presence will be that obvious with you, Moses. When I'm sending you, my presence will be that obvious. Nobody can deny it. They're going to say, God is with that man. God is with that woman. I see it. I recognize it. And this is a wonderful thing because God says, if you do it for me, I'm going to be there. Now, some of you might say, well, I don't recognize God's power in my life. I don't see God with me. Well, let me ask you this. Are you out doing anything? Are you serving anywhere? Kids ministry, youth group, men's group, women's group, cleaning, mowing? Are you serving anywhere? If you're not, you don't need. Look, you only need gas for a car if you're going to drive it. Does everybody understand that? I have found that until you start driving the car, you don't need gasoline. And the car can sit there and look beautiful. You can say, wow, that's a great looking car, you know. But if you don't drive it, it does no good. And if you're going to drive it, God will fill it up. See, here's the analogy. As a believer, yes, you're saved. Everything's beautiful. You're in the kingdom. You're ready to go. But unless you're going to get in and take the spiritual keys and start up the engine and say, all right, Lord, where do you want me to serve? I'm ready. I'm going to serve. Let's go. You know, then you're not going to have the power. But as you step out, then the power will come. God gives the power for what you need to do. He says, I will certainly be with you. But if you don't step out, the power won't be there. And so he says, it'll be obvious. Everybody's going to see this. They're going to recognize it. They're going to see my brand on you. They're going to see that you're on fire for me. They're going to clearly see that you belong to me. And if his word's not enough, God gives him a sign. Notice he says he would later bring with him the children of Israel back to this very spot where God spoke with him. And what an encouragement that must have been for Moses when he really saw it happen. You think about Moses going and he does all this and then all of a sudden, when he's back there in that place and they're all with him, it probably hit him. Oh, yeah, here I am. I'm back at the same mountain you told me I would be with. I think this is cool. And I think that God will oftentimes give us the same sign. Now, what do I mean by that? I've had this habit. It didn't happen always. But you share with people, whether it's no matter where you are, you're sharing with them. And all of a sudden, one day they show up at church. They're back at the mountain where God called you to go share with them. I said, go share. And you go share, and suddenly they're back at the fellowship where you are. They're back at the very mountain where God inspired you to do it. And now you're seeing the fruit of your labors. And he was doing the same thing for Moses here. I mean, I've seen God do this, and sometimes it'd be a year's delay. But, you know, we get to some of the same signs that God gave to Moses. Now, again, this is interesting to me, too, because why would Moses need a sign? You ever think about that? I mean, come on. When I read this, I'm thinking, I'm going to give you a sign, Moses, that it's me. I'm thinking, let's think about the situation. I like to live the scene out, right? Moses is talking to a bush and it's answering him. I mean, what more do you need? I mean, honestly, you're like, there's a bush, it's burning, it won't burn up. Hi, bush, hello, oh, it's alive, you know. Well, show me a sign. Like, what? You know, what kind of, he didn't ask for a sign, but God says, I'm going to give you a sign to let you know I'm with you. I would kind of like, you know what, the burning bush thing, that got it, Lord, I'm there. And but God knew, here's the thing, guys, and this is true about every one of you when you step out, here's the truth. I don't care how clear God makes your call, you're going to doubt it at times. God will give you a burning bush experience, and some time goes by, and you're going to think, you know what? I don't think I really am called to missions. I don't think I really was called to work in the, you know, kids ministry. I don't think I really was called to be a teacher. I don't think I really was called to be a pastor. I don't think I really was called to work. And you go down the list of all the ways you can serve. I don't think I really was. Wait a minute. Did God speak to you clearly at the beginning? If God spoke to you, here's what I encourage you to do. If God has told you, and he may not have it, you might say, I haven't heard the call yet, Mark. I haven't heard it. Okay, that's all right. Just keep serving. Bloom where you're planted. When it's time, God will speak to you. Don't feel like you're somehow less or left out if you haven't heard what it is God wants you to do. He will show you in his time. Right now, you're in that molding, shaping process. But as you're waiting to be molded and shaped to the thing God wants you to be so you can do it, just serve on the way. Just serve. Be about the Father's business, whatever that is. Start serving, and as you serve, God will show you, all right? So don't worry about, you know, the fact you haven't, you know, been told yet. God will tell you things. Write them down. I've got scripture. You know, there's been times, after we first came here, there were times that I really wanted to quit. You know, I had those false expectations. We had come from another Calvary that was huge. The one down the street was 12,000 people or something. And the one we were in was, you know, over 1,000. And they were close together, and there were all these big events and these big speakers that would come in and these big musicians, and everything was big, 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 right? So I'm thinking, we're going to go out, you know, we'll be there for, you know, I don't know, a few months, and it'll be up to 100 people, and be a few more months, it'll be 500, you know, a year or two, there'll be 1,000 people. That's just because that's what I'd seen. But I wasn't ready for that. And God, you know, whether God ever wants to do that with me, I don't know. But the point is, God had to get me to the place where now I don't care. It's not that I don't want to see the church grow and I don't want to see the minister grow. I just want to serve him. Whatever it is he wants me to do, that's what I want to do. And the results are up to him, you see. But I'll tell you, there's been times, early on especially, where I wanted to quit. And I remember one particular time where I wanted to quit. This is it, Lord. It's not going. I thought it would go and it didn't. And I must have missed you and all that. And God made it so clear when we came out. I mean, I could go down a whole testimony of all the things God did. Just amazing things to show us. We were supposed to come. But I had to get one more, you know. And I remember running up to the mountain, sitting by the stream, saying, God, you got to speak to me right now, because I'm not going to make it. I think it's time to quit. I think maybe I missed it, and whatever, it's time to go back. He took me to a place in Scripture, and he gave me such a strong Scripture that I cannot deny it. If I quit now, it's just disobedience. Now, he could call me to something else. He could do that. But to quit the ministry would be disobedience at this point, because he made it so clear. But I remember, I keep those things in my heart. Because then when the temptation comes up to say, you know what, maybe I'm not called, and God reminds you, wait a minute, what about that? And you need to do that. If God gives you, and God will give you those landmarks in your life, write them down. Don't lose them, because Moses needed this. You would think that Moses, I mean, come on, he has a bush that's on fire talking to him, and God says, now, you didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give you a sign, because by then you're going to need it. You're going to come out, and all this stuff's going to happen, and Moses, you're going to start having questions. And when you're back at this mountain and you see all the children of Israel, you look out over and go, wow, it really happened. Then you're going to be reminded what I'm telling you right now. And you're going to say, this is you, God. I can't deny it. Let's keep going. And God gives us those landmarks that keep us going in ministry and in life, you know. How many of you guys have been right to the very end and God does just that special thing, right? All right, you know, I can keep going. That's what he's doing for Moses. And although he heard God's voice clearly, you know, he's going to say, all right, Moses, this is going to be a sign to you. Now, next week, we'll get into his second excuse. I won't tell you what it is yet, but we'll just wait till then. But who am I? Some of you guys tonight probably, who am I? Come on, I don't have, Mark, I didn't even have a little bit of ability to sing, and I don't have any musical ability, and I can't even, you know, I can't do anything. I can't type, I can't, you know. I never was good at sports, and I don't really have any, I don't speak good, I don't this. It's not about you. See, this is what I had to learn. It's not about me. For the longest time, I thought it was about me. You know, I'll go and take these talents I have and use them for it. It's not about me. God's not impressed with any of it. It's not about you. He loves you and he wants to use you. But what you've got to do is say, all right, here I am, whatever I am. I don't know what that is. Whatever I've got, use it. Just offer it to him, okay? And then start serving and wait on God to show you. And God will speak. You'll have your burning bush moment in God's timing. He'll show you what it is you're supposed to do. But until then, just serve. Don't ever think, who am I? Because I'll tell you who you are. You're saved. You're a believer in Christ. You've got the gospel. The demons tremble because Christ lives in you. And you know the truth that can save a lost and dying world. There's, what more is needed? You're in a very privileged position. Use it. God will take away all of our other excuses over the next 2 weeks, huh?
While our time at the table of God's Word is ending for today, please keep reading in the book of Exodus. There's so much to discover and appreciate about God and His awesome power. So much of this book touches on God's redemption for His people. His love and care for them is what compels Him to do unheard acts to prove that He's for them and is there to rescue them. What a caring, loving God to go to such great measures to look out for His people. He has the same care and concern for you as well, and He wants to be your rescue. If you're unsure if you need to be rescued, we encourage you to hop over to thewaymedia.net and ask us any questions you have. Find the Come to the Table link, and then there's a form under Questions and Comments. Again, that's thewaymedia.net. You can also hear this message again at thewaymedia.net or download the Way Media app so you know when new broadcasts are happening. On behalf of Pastor Mark, we appreciate your prayers during this study through Exodus. Although this is an Old Testament book of historical accounts, there's so much to gain about the nature of God and His unrelenting loyalty to His people. We hope this overarching message is conveyed through Pastor Mark's teachings. We appreciate your prayers for this ministry as the Word of God goes forth to many who might not have heard it otherwise. Pastor Mark has more to share through the book of Exodus, so we hope you'll be able to join us the next time we come to the table.
come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.